This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. Amnesty International officials say they're pleased that a team has been allowed into Libya for the first time in 15 years. Four Amnesty members spent 2 weeks in the country investigating alleged human rights violations. The visit is seen as part of Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi's continuing efforts to improve the country's international image. It began with his decision 2 months ago to abandon Libya's nuclear weapons program. NPR's Nick Spicer reports from Tripoli.
On the streets of the capital, brother leader's face is everywhere, on billboards, buildings, even on ads. Muammar Gaddafi seems always to look skywards in a defiant, revolutionary pose. So he might seem a surprising poster child for other countries the White House would like to disarm. But last Saturday, the mercurial man who has ruled this Alaska-sized desert nation since a 1969 coup suggested the invasion of Iraq in no way forced him to disarm. Gaddafi was speaking through an interpreter at a summit of African leaders in Libya.
The nuclear arms race, it's a crazy and destructive policy for economy and life. We would like to have a better economy and improve life.
Libya's economy is 95% dependent on oil for export revenues. Since American firms left because of the U.S. trade embargo imposed in 1986, oil production has dropped by half. Dr. Salah Ibrahim is the director of the Academy of Graduate Studies, Libya's top university. He suggested self-interest and not a fear of invasion led to moves to disarm.
We expect the American response to actually assess Libya, initiating programs that would enhance and support the sustainable development. We want basically the embargo to be lifted. We've been deprived from studying in America, for example. We've been deprived from getting spare parts and civil aviation and oil sector. We want relations to take their national course, if you like.
Another reason Gaddafi provided for disarming in his weekend speech to African leaders was a change in Libyan priorities in a new international environment. He is trying to make his country a lead nation in the African Union, a body grouping all African nations, created partly at Gaddafi's initiative in 2002. Dr. Ibrahim explains Libya now considers its security concerns in the African context, so it now puts a bigger priority on conflict prevention than in fending off enemies. Ibrahim adds that Israel is no longer considered a strategic threat, since the Palestinian issue is now an issue for Palestinians alone.
Libya has come to the conclusion there is no immediate and imminent danger Libya could face in the new environment. Libya decided to make the strategic move of abandoning any programs that could develop weapons of mass destruction. There is no need for such a development.
Taken together, Ibrahim suggests the economic and international reasons for change are pushing Libya to put its national interest first. In other words, Libya's disarmament flows from its new policy of lookout for number one. A top advisor to Gaddafi's son and heir apparent even suggests a major convergence between Libya's primary foreign policy problem and America's, terrorism. Dr. Rajab Azarouk.
Since now we are only fighting one enemy, which is terrorism, I think now we can share others, like the United States, like Britain, like European, and also developing countries, in fighting this kind of menace.
Accompanying the makeover on the international stage are small steps forward on human rights. Amnesty International was allowed to visit Libya these past 2 weeks after seeking permission for 15 years. Claudio Cordone headed the delegation, which met with Muammar Gaddafi. He said Amnesty's presence here was a welcome change in itself, but called for the end to a ban on political parties, on the use of torture, and for fairer trials. Cordone added there was concern amongst Libya human rights activists that the international makeover might eclipse remaining domestic problems.
It's certainly a fear that has been shared with us by many of the Libyans that we've met. And in a sense, we see our role as concentrating on the issues that are particularly relevant to Libyan society, that don't necessarily have an international dimension, but that are extremely important for human rights in this country.
Cordone says, however, that the first Libyan human rights groups are getting established and sees that, too, as a good sign. Nick Spicer, NPR News, Tripoli.